I want to talk about listening today. Listening. And the title of this message is, Are You Listening? Are You Listening? So hearing and listening are closely related, but they are different. They are different. Let's take a look at hearing as contrasted with listening. Hearing, or auditory perception, is the ability to perceive sounds by detecting vibrations, changes in the pressure of the surrounding medium through time, through the organ, such as an ear. Now, an ear is, and hearing is, one of the traditional five senses. In humans and other vertebrates, hearing is performed primarily by the auditory system. Mechanical waves known as vibrations are detected by the ear and transduced into nerve impulses that are perceived in the brain, primarily in the temporal lobe. Like touch, audition requires sensitivity to the movement of molecules in the world outside the organism. Both hearing and touch are types of mechanosensation. We have to learn what sounds mean. We all have to learn what sounds mean. So from Wikipedia, hearing is a physiological phenomenon. Listening is a psychological act. We are always hearing, most of the time subconsciously. Listening is done by choice. It is the interpretive action taken by someone in order to understand and potentially make meaning of something they hear. What is listening? Listening differs from obeying. You think, oh, you hear that, you obey. No, not necessarily. Listening differs from obeying. A person who receives and understands information or an instruction and then chooses not to comply with it or not to agree with it has listened to the speaker, even though the result is not what the speaker wanted. You can be rejected. I'd like to talk for a moment about active listening. Active listening is listening to what someone is saying and attempting to understand what is being said. It can be described in a lot of ways. Active listening is having good listening skills. The listener is attentive, non-judgmental, non-interrupting. Active listening is an exchange between two or multiple people. When those people are active listeners, the quality of the conversation will be better and more clear. They connect with each other on a deeper level with each other in their conversations. Active listening can create more deep and positive relationships between individuals. When we say individuals, we're talking about your spouse, for instance. Listening skills. Your children. Your friends. Your brethren. But also God and His Word. The Bible. It seems like we all struggle with listening. We all struggle with listening. I certainly do. And with listening skills. You remember that game where you get together a bunch of people and the game is you whisper something into the first person's ear and it goes down the trail and that gets repeated to the next person and the next person. And by the time you get through two, three people, the message is unrecognizable. Most of that is due to poor listening. Poor listening. And or mumbling, I guess. But mostly poor listening. But the results always come out garbled because people don't listen carefully enough. And that's something we all kind of fight. Franklin D. Roosevelt grew tired of smiling the expected presidential smile and saying the usual expected words at White House receptions. One evening he decided to find out whether anybody really listened to what he was saying. As each person came to him with an extended hand, he flashed a big smile and said, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." Many responded with comments like, "How lovely." "It's nice to meet you, Mr. President." However, one diplomat responded softly, "I'm sure she had it coming." But listening, it's a skill that we all need to develop. A perfect example was that example. You're not even listening to the President of the United States when you go up to shake his hand. Remarkable. So are we really listening to others? Are we really listening? Do we jump ahead? We want to move on to our own story. Keep it moving, guys, so I can comment. Oftentimes that's true. Or we're working on a response in our head while we're listening. In other words, you're not totally attentive to what the other person's saying. You're already working out your own response. You're racing ahead in your mind. Not really listening at all. Not really focused listening. Not attentive listening. Not active listening. We hear, oh yeah, we're listening. You know, we hear the words. The words are coming in. They're flowing in. But we're not really listening. Sometimes we interrupt. Story's going along and they get to a point and they might pause for a microsecond and boom, you're in. So you can tell your story. After all, my story's better than your story anyway. And I wish you'd hurry up with your story so I can tell mine. That's extremely poor listening. We have to give people our ear. Not literally, but we have to give them our ear. Your focused attention. Be it your wife, your kids, your friends, your brethren, and your God. Oftentimes we're hearing words. We think we're listening, but if we're asked to repeat a certain, you know, comment, you can't come up with it. You weren't really listening. You're racing ahead in your mind to something else. Are you a multitasker? I know a lot of people are. I mean, we're kind of almost forced to be in this world, multitasking. Your mind is speedily racing ahead on its own issues or interests. Now, I've been accused of having this problem. Maybe you have too. You could ask my wife. She would probably explain this in great detail, what the problem is. She can be telling me a story. We have the television on. I'm watching a show. But I'm also have my tablet out and I'm watching a baseball game on my tablet. So input coming in, wife. Input coming in, television. Oh, and the baseball game. You can't miss that. What are you doing? What are you doing? You're not giving focus to your wife. You're not giving focus to your wife. So you're not really listening. So that's being disrespectful because she probably has something important that you should listen to. And you could say, it's not that important. I know what she's going to say all the time. It's not that important. But this kind of multitasking is not an example of good listening skills. It's frustrating when people don't listen to you or they won't listen to you, assuming you have something to say. In James 1:19, and we won't turn there, it says, "Be quick to listen and slow to speak." Now, most of us are directly opposite of that, and I put myself in this position as well. Quick to speak and slow to listen. That's not what we're asked to do. Quick to listen and slow to speak. So are we listening? Are we listening? Former President Bill Clinton once said, "Being president is like running a cemetery. You've got a lot of people under you, but nobody's listening." The scriptures are replete with God's plea, his admonition to all of mankind to hear him, to listen to his words of wisdom and and his counsel and to obey him. God speaks to us through his word, the Holy Scriptures, and through his servants all down through time. And many, many, many claim to hear. They claim to hear all this, but very few really listen. Now, throughout the Scriptures, God's people hear him speak, and they've heard him speak, but they refuse to listen. They refuse to acknowledge what he said and refuse to obey and act on it. Listen. Listen to wise counsel from the Word and from others. Listen to God. Listen and learn. In Psalm 115, verses 5 and 6, it says, "They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear." We've all got ears, but we're not hearing with understanding all the time. In Deuteronomy 6, in verse 3, it says, "Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey." There are promises associated with listening to God, hearing what he says, understanding what he says. Listen closely to God. In Deuteronomy 28 and verse 13, "And the Lord will make you head and not the tail, and shall be above only and not be beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them." If you heed, if you're listening, if you're paying attention to what I've told you, there are rewards for that. He tells us to be careful to observe. Careful to observe. In Proverbs 8, and verse 32, this is just sage advice. "Now therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways." God says, listen up. Listen up, people. Listen up, my brethren. Listen up, my children. And we're all God's children. "For blessed are those who keep my ways." There's a blessing associated with that. In Proverbs 4, in verse 10, "Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many." There's a promise for listening and complying with God's word. "Receive my sayings." Listen up. I'm telling you, it's all here in Scripture. "The years of your life will be many." Back just a few verses in verse 1 of chapter 4. It says, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law." So once again, hear, my children. Hear the instruction of a father. Hear the instruction of our Father. "For I give you good doctrine." This is good stuff. Pay attention. Do not forsake my law. In Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1 and verse 5. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Listening and hearing will increase your learning. You will learn more. You will understand more. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Proverbs 2. Proverbs 2. We'll begin in verse 1. Now, I know you're thinking this is a 300 scripture sermon. But no. We will get through these. Proverbs 2, beginning in verse 1. I'd like to read this out of the New Living Bible, New Living Testament. Makes it very, very clear. It says in verse 1, "My child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures." This is valuable, valuable stuff. "Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." From his mouth to our ears, to our listening to him, to our understanding. "For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity." This is incredible advice from Solomon. "He guards the paths of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. Then you will understand what is right, just, and fair, and you will find the right way to go." That's what we all want to do. We want to find the right way to go, don't we? Sure, this is great advice from Solomon. Unfortunately, he failed to take his own advice. He lost it along the way. So we have to listen for understanding. God grants that understanding to those he will. As we heard in the One Accord. And I thank Mr. Kylo for bringing us that. Have a little greater understanding of what's going on in media and maybe some of the difficulties that we should be praying about as far as the Life, Hope, and Truth and the website and the responses. God will give those responses. We do our part. So God has said many times, "Hear my word." That's what God says. He says, "Hear my word," or "Hear the word of the Lord." It's in the Bible many times. In the Old Testament, the prophets carried God's message. They preached their hearts out. But nobody listened. Nobody listened. In the New Testament, God carries on the same theme of "Hear me." Jesus says, "Listen to me." The words of Jesus and his servants are contained in this Bible. These are the words of Jesus in red letter, no less, in the New Testament. They're contained in the Bible. We have to listen to these words. These words are directed to us. And we should act as if we're listening to Jesus Christ speak to us personally, himself. Because he is. Because he is. In Matthew 15 and verse 10, Matthew 15 and verse 10. Here's what Jesus wants us to do. In verse 10, when he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear, or listen interchangeably, hear and understand. That's what Jesus Christ has always wanted everyone he ever spoke to do. He wants you to listen intently, and he wants you to understand. You have to make a commitment for God to grant you that understanding. I'd like to turn to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, and we'll begin reading in verse 9 through verse 16. And I'm going to read this out of the New Living Testament again. Verse 9. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. We just covered that. Jesus said it over and over. Does that tell us something? His disciples came and asked him, why do you use parables when you talk to the people? He replied, you were permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. We're in that group that have been granted the understanding of the secrets of heaven. What an incredible thing. But others are not. To those who listen to my teachings, verse 12, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. So those that listen to his teachings, they'll be given more understanding. They'll have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. Does that remind you of anything in the history of our church? Where people stopped listening to the Word of God, and then the understanding of God's way evaporates. It just goes away. They no longer understand. They substitute their own understanding. Definitely explains, some of our church history. How so easily people can give up the truth. They stop listening. Verse 13, that is why I use these parables. For they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. That's from Isaiah 6, 9, and 10. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear. They've shut their ears. They're going around like this. They've shut their ears. They don't want to hear anymore. And their hearts cannot understand. They've lost the heart for God. Their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. Because they won't listen, God can't extend healing to them. God wants to heal them. God wants to heal the entire world, and he will. His plan is to heal everyone, ultimately. But he can't do that if you don't listen. If you don't listen. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. That's the position we're in. We're blessed. Our eyes and our ears are blessed because we can see and we can hear and we can listen intently. When we talk to God, is he listening? Is God listening to us? We certainly hope so. We pray to him. But there are conditions. There are conditions for God to respond to you. God does his own will no matter what. But there are conditions. In John 9:31, We get a taste of what those conditions are. John 9, verse 31. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. God is listening intently to us if we're doing his will. He's listening. He's tuned in. He hears what we say. He hears about our problems. He's ready to respond. Jesus Christ talks of listening with understanding. Some can't. Some can't understand. Some won't. Some never hear the word. This whole world is full of people who have never heard the word. They don't know who Jesus Christ is. They're involved in some other alternate universe religion. Some have never heard. And all of them await the end of this age. The trumpets will be celebrating. They're awaiting the end of this age to finally hear. And most will listen attentively at that time. But some listen and understand now. And that is us. We listen. We listen to the Word of God. We listen to those that are bringing the Word of God. We can understand. We can discern. We're working from our mind and from our heart. That has to be us. That has to be us. In Luke 8, and we'll begin in verse 8. This is from the New King James. Verse 5, we see that Christ is talking about the sower went out to sow, and some fell by the wayside. The seeds fell by the wayside. Some fell in the rocks. Some fell in the thorns. Were choked out by the thorns. But some fell on good ground. Verse 8. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." There were numerous times when Jesus Christ became passionate. He actually cried out, "Is anyone listening here? You're my boys. You're following me around every day. I talk to you. I tell you the mysteries of the universe. And you don't get it. Many times you just don't get it." He cried, "He who has ears, let him hear." Then his disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said in verse 10, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." It's not open to everyone. So we have to appreciate the fact that we've been given the gift of understanding. And listening intently makes a difference to us. To you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but the rest is given in parables. Seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. We are called, as we hope many, many more will be called, to listen and understand, just like the disciples eventually did, particularly when they were given the Holy Spirit. But oftentimes Christ had to explain things twice, or they didn't intuitively just get the parables. So he would explain them to them. With the Holy Spirit, they might have got it the first time. We don't know that for sure. Now the parable is this, verse 11. The seed is the word of God. That's the seed. This book, this Word of God, the words of Jesus, that is the seed. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So there's always the devil to contend with, whose goal is to destroy every last human that he can, eventually. The devil comes and takes a word out of their heart. It means they could have heard the word, but the devil intervened, interfered. He goes around like a roaring lion seeking who he can destroy. Verse 13. But the ones on the rocks are those, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time, temptation, they fall away. They have no root. What happens to a plant with no root? It soon dies. It's got nothing to deal with stress, too much sun, too much water, all insect problems, all kinds of different things that put stress on plants. The rock, they hear, they receive the word with joy. They were happy to hear it, and they were beginning to understand. They were beginning to understand, but they had no roots. They received it with joy, but with no roots. Over time, they did fall away. Verse 14, now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. They've heard. They even probably understood. But they're not dedicated to God's way. So they go out and they're choked with just daily cares. Everyday things are more important than listening to God and following His Word. Riches, pleasures of life. We would all like to have pleasures of life. But if you focus on that, if your focus is not on adhering to God's way, you're not going to bring any fruit to maturity. No fruit to maturity. Verse 15, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. There's the answer. We want to be the good seed. We want to be the good seed planted on good ground. We're making good roots. We're strong in the faith. They fell on good ground, having heard the word with noble and a good heart. They're open-hearted to God's word. They believe. They also keep it. They keep it. They keep the word and bear fruit with patience. He even gave them an example in verse 21. If you drop down to verse 21, at the end of this, he said, but he answered and said to them, my mother and brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. Here's you an example. My mother and my brothers, they've heard the word of God like you have. They believe it. They do it. Luke 9. Luke 9, and we'll begin in verse 18. Now, Christ had just concluded an incredibly huge miracle of the loaves and fishes with many, many, multiple thousand people that he had witnessed to and he had spoken to. verse 18, "And it happened as he was alone praying after this event that his disciples joined him, and he asked them, saying, 'Who do the crowds say I am?' So they answered and said, 'John the Baptist. But some say Elijah, and others say that one of the old prophets has risen again.'" So there was a lot of different speculation. Okay, who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus Christ guy? So different ones had different ideas. Maybe this is Elijah. Well, Elijah had to have been resurrected to do that. He's one of the old, he's just a regular prophet. We've had prophets throughout the ages. He's just another prophet. Then he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered and said, "The Christ of God." And he strictly warned and commanded them to tell this to no one. Well, that would have been heresy and straight to jail, and Christ may have been taken before his time. So Christ warned them, don't be voicing this about, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised the third day." Let's not get ahead of ourselves. There's a plan. Then he said to them in verse 23, "Then he said to them all, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.'" Are we willing to carry the cross daily? I want to skip Mondays. It's a tough day at work. I want to skip Mondays. "Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost?" We see the giants of industry, billionaires, some 100 billionaires. What does it mean if they gain the whole world? What does it mean if they're president of a company or president of the United States? If you gain the whole world, what profit is it? Because ultimately, you may be destroyed or lost because you're not listening to the Word. Verse 26, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." So whoever is ashamed of me, Jesus Christ, and his words, they don't respect his words that he left with us. They're not listening. They don't want to hear it. "I have better things to do. I'm running a gigantic corporation like Google." So whoever's ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his glory. Verse 27, "But I tell you truly that there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God." Well, what could that possibly mean? "Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray." He's going to give them a small glimpse of the kingdom of God, what it might be like. "As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered and his robe became white and glistening." This is a different Jesus. There's a different face on Jesus. This is the glorified Jesus. This is the Jesus Christ of the kingdom of God. "And behold, two men talked with him," verse 30, "who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem." They appeared in glory. They were not literally remanufactured. This is a vision. Verse 32, but Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were fully awake, they finally woke up, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Then it happened as they were parting from him that Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Aren't you glad, Jesus, that we're here with you here? We can fix things. And let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. They don't understand the situation. They don't understand what they're witnessing. Not knowing what he said, Peter did not understand at that point. He didn't really get the big picture. Verse 34, while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him, listen to him. So Peter, John, and James were specifically addressed by God. Guys, listen to Jesus. He's my beloved Son. Are you guys listening? Are you paying attention to what he's trying to teach you in advance of the founding of the church? This is my Son. The New Living Testament says, This is my Son who I've chosen. Listen to him. The word for listen or hear in the Greek is akeo. It's an interesting translation of the word, is to hear with the ear of the mind. To hear with the ear of the mind. Let your mind engage. Let your mind engage with God. That's really, really listening. Hearing with the ear of your mind. When the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone. But they kept quiet, told no one in those days any of the things they had seen. And who would have believed them anyway? They're going to make this fanciful story about what they saw. No one would have believed it. So they just kept quiet. And that was the thing to do. John 10. John 10, we're going to read this out of the New Living again. It's got some clarity involved. John 10, verses 22 to 30. It was now winter, and Jesus was in Jerusalem, and the time of Hanukkah, the festival of dedication. Every time I think of Hanukkah, I think of Adam Sandler, SNH, the Hanukkah song. I don't know about you guys, but it just comes to mind naturally. Verse 23, he was in the temple walking through the section known as Solomon's Colonnade. The people surrounded him and asked, How long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Are you the Messiah? Just tell us outright. Jesus replied, I have already told you, and you don't believe me. The proof is the work I do in my Father's name. Just tell us plainly. You're not listening. If you'd been listening, you would know. I've already told you, and you don't believe. You don't believe me. The proof is in the work I do in my Father's name. Verse 26, but you don't believe me because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. We get that? My sheep listen to my voice. His voice is all through the New Testament in red letters. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them. They are part of Jesus Christ. And they follow me. They're following his words. Verse 28, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. I respond to them. I listen to them. I'm responding because I'm going to give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. For my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else or anything else. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand. No one can snatch you from the Father's hand if you are listening, understanding, and connected. Of course, it's prudent to watch what we listen to. Some things you need to be very prudent about listening to. You don't want to be listening to gossip. You don't want to be listening to false prophets. We're warned about these things. We've got to avoid temptation. Temptation is calling you all the time. Every day, temptations. We can listen. That would be a mistake. Just plain old foolish talk. Foolish talk. Don't listen. Don't listen. Reject that. We are entering a period with a great opportunity to hone our listening skills. The next couple of weeks. We have four holy days in the entire Feast of Tabernacles. So many messages we're going to get to listen to. We've got to listen to those messages with our mind, our ear and our mind. We've got to listen and learn. There'll be a lot to learn if we're tuned in, if we're listening. I'm talking about active listening, where you're engaged totally. During this period, the next two or three weeks, let's make a special effort to listen to our spouses. I'm sure they've got a lot of things to share with us. Listen to our children. They like to be heard. They need to be heard. How can you teach them if you're not listening and attentive to them? Listen to your brethren. If someone's telling you a story, don't jump all over them and jump in. Listen. We might learn something. But most importantly, listen to the Lord. He's going to be speaking to us. He's going to be speaking to us through the feast period. In conclusion, let's turn to Hosea 14 and verse 9. Once again, I'm going to read this out of the New Living Testament. Hosea 14 and verse 9. Let those who are wise understand these things. Let those with discernment listen carefully. The paths of the Lord are true and right, and righteous people live by walking in them. Are we listening?